All right, my friends, let me ask you a question. This is Dave Sharp on the hot seat. Good morning. Have you ever said to yourself, I'm computer illiterate. I'm technically unsavvy. I don't have the computer skills to be able to do this, to get this done. Well, today's guest said the same exact thing. And quite frankly, a lot of times we say things and they're not even true. This may have been true for this guy. You know what I mean? Let's find out, because that's not the case anymore. He's now succeeding and thriving with his digital business. Let's find out how he did it. Will, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hi.
How are you, man?
I'm doing great.
Yeah? Nice, dude. Nice. Where are you calling in from?
From Edinburgh, Texas.
Okay. Nice. So, completely computer illiterate, huh? And that was about 4 months ago, huh? And now you would say that you are still computer illiterate yet having success, or you're not as computer illiterate anymore? And you're tell us a little bit about the story and what's happened over the last 4 months.
Well, I started off like not understanding anything. It was basically starting from scratch. I didn't touch a computer in many years. So I just started, you know, little by little. I'd take little pieces of information and I'd apply it and learn it and then move on to the next step. And eventually the little bits that I put together turn into more knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you do? What do you do besides this? Can you fill us in about who else Will is and why you were motivated to want to come online and earn extra income?
Well, I've been a truck driver for going on 18 years now. And I started as a factory worker back in the 90s. And, the factories were closing down, moving to Mexico. So my factory moved and I needed to figure out something to do. So It was easy to get a license and start driving a truck. So that's what I did. Money's decent, but I never wanted to do it. It was just, I was forced into the situation. So over the years, I was always looking for a way to get out of truck driving because I never liked it. I just needed to do it. And turns out, I came across the Legendary 17 years later. And that's when I was like, this could work. This is something that I need to focus on because this can change my life. So that's why I went ahead, did it.
So had you seen other things over the past 17 years that, I mean, what was it about Legendary, you think? I mean, because there had to have been other things that you may have heard or seen or that had come across your desk or phone or whatever. What was it this time? Or was this the only thing? I mean, have you pretty much been offline, if you will, for 17 or 18 years or whatever? And kind of you just now came on social media and stuff. Like, I'm just trying to connect the dots about also what was it about Legendary that converted you, if you will, from offline to online?
I spent most of the years, anything that I did online was just, political. It was like political stuff. Never really focused anything with business until I got into TikTok. And I fell on like the business side of TikTok, and that's where I started realizing, like, wait a minute, there's a bigger world out there than just, finding a job. Because that was what I was focused on, finding another job.
I love this. It's so simple yet powerful, right? You're conditioned to just go find another job. And you downloaded this stupid effing app. And now all of a sudden it completely, you start seeing somehow, as most of us do, you start getting fed that kind of, business or financial or investment or make money kind of content, because there's a lot of it. And you're going, hold on, wait a second, as you're literally just looking for a job. Your brain is being opened by these little 15-second videos about the possibility of working completely for yourself online and using the internet. Is that kind of how it went down?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's unbelievable, man.
Yeah. It was like opening the box. Yeah. And then you look inside the box, like, oh wow, okay. Yeah.
And what even made you get on TikTok? I mean, were you had kids on it? What even made you download the app? And were you a big social media user before that?
Yeah, I mean, I would just scroll, Facebook. That was my only social media. And it was just mentioned to me one day, like, hey, have you ever checked out TikTok? And it took me a while before I decided to download it. And, when I did, that's when everything changed,
That's crazy, man. So you come across this legendary, what are these people talking about? And you watch the 20 something minute video that explains what we do, our challenge, you enroll, and you begin this process. I mean, what about the initial video, even maybe before you bought the challenge or the videos in the challenge? I mean, what really made you believe, hey, I can do this? Did you look around and see other people? I mean, what was it? Did you begin to build that belief back when you were watching the initial TikTok videos? Tell us where you built your at least confidence, if you're still somewhat computer illiterate, because I know you gotta be. It's only been a couple of months. Cause I am after, 13 or four. I don't know how long I've been doing this, but Will, I'm not over here. I still am a hunting pecker, for Christmas sakes, people. I can't even look at the keyboard and type fast like this. I can't do that.
Right.
Actually have to look at the keyboard. Now I can write some copy. I have figured out. And you know what? I could have gone and take some classes, people. I do want to throw this out there. In the last decade, I could have gone and taken some classes to learn specifically how to type. And I still might do that because I like to grow. But what I'm saying, Will, I've been doing this for over a decade and I'm still computer illiterate. What really converted you to build your confidence to make you think to yourself, at least I can do this?
Yeah. In the beginning, of course, like a lot of people, you're skeptical and you question your abilities and you question if it's real and it's too good to be true. And it takes a lot. So like in October of last year is when I actually got into the program. But I didn't continue with it. I stopped because I was questioning everything.
I got you.
Well, I continued to watch because the person that I came across on TikTok was Calvin. So I continued to watch Calvin and all his lives. And he's the one that really showed me, like, okay, you know what? This is real. This can actually happen. And I went right back into it and continued to finish the 15 days. And then I had another roadblock. Like, okay, you know what? I need money. Everybody's question is money. How am I going to get the money? Well, I had to realize that instead of telling myself that I'm broke and I don't have the money, I need to find a way to get the money so that I can start this business. Yeah. And I did it. Took action.
You became resourceful, right? Instead of complaining about your resources.
Exactly. Yes.
Which we've been doing, all of us, in any area of our life whenever we really want something. I don't know a human being, unless they are in a cage, that does not ultimately get what they want if they don't stop trying. And I'm talking about if a human being wants a Big Mac, ain't nothing going to stop that person from going to that McDonald's. If a person wants a a lot of times, if a person wants another person, right, they're going to pursue them until they get them, right? I mean, a lot of times, or else, I mean, I know some people that get thrown in jail, for God's sakes, because they become creepy, but they tried. They gave it hell, you know what I mean? But my point here is that what I'm hearing from you is a couple of things. I'm hearing one other thing that really stood out to me is the fact that Calvin Hill practiced good old marketing. And what happened was, if we can just go back and dissect a little bit of Will's conversion point, right? You became converted. I was like, well, what was the magical thing that made you convert and believe and all this stuff? And you're like, well, you know what? I initially spent a couple of bucks and didn't believe. And then I kept getting follow-ups re-exposed by a marketer. And I just so happened to be on TikTok and I watched one of his lives. Look, we got 208 people right now. Are y'all hearing what we're talking about? Because what Will is laying out is how Calvin has made multiple six and seven figures in this business over the last year or so. Okay? It's called here's what it's called. Get up every day and market.
Yeah,
that's all. Yeah. I mean, Will, I'm not much more of a, I mean, it doesn't sound like, it sounds like you and I are about right here in terms of our computer literacy and probably just good old blue collar boys. But here's what I do know, that if I get up and I market every day, 7 days a week, I have something going out on the platforms that I'm marketing on, I got a good chance to convert some people, because I'm not going to probably hit them on that first conversion. That's okay. But like what you just said, you caught alive that he was doing. And he was probably just holding his phone up to the computer, just nothing fancy. He probably had a little slide, or maybe even it had a little piece of paper. Maybe he was explaining, you know, something like, well, look, Uber is kind of like a big affiliate marketing company. They connect people. I mean, that's a great, very simple example to explain to people kind of, you know, what affiliate is marketing is like. You know, it's like Airbnb. You don't own any of the stuff. You just connect the people who want the service or have the service. Same with Uber. And so Calvin simply, instead of, and here's another thing that I want to point out, because I want to ask you about you creating content and marketing next, but what Calvin did was nothing magical, nothing that anybody else, what Calvin does in any other great legendary marketer that you see out there who you're enamored with and you're saying, wow, they must be really different. I mean, they really know something. No, they don't. They're just, they went through and got a little education. Cool. And they're every day. Every day, did you do something for your trucking business? You know, when you were driving a truck, it wasn't like you took days off and were just like, hey, what? No, your ass was on that seat putting in miles, weren't you? Because I know, because I read your thing, and time is your biggest why. So you spent a lot of time behind that wheel. And you know what? The same thing applies, folks. The same time that you put in your job, you have to put similar time in your business, at least in the beginning. Owning your own business doesn't mean you work less. It means you can make more. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you can work less. I mean, you might eventually get to a place to where you can work less, but in the beginning, it will behoove you to at least match the hours, since if you're completely quitting a job, since, well, you've already proven that you can work that many hours anyways, you know? So going back to Calvin and how he converted you, which was you bought and then were skeptical, and Calvin, you know, being an affiliate, and Calvin is a pretty well-rounded marketer. He's got, you know, he seems to have quite a bit of things going on, but still he is an affiliate for Legendary. And guess what? I'm sure when he re-engaged you, there's a possibility you went and bought more. you bought more training, or you bought more, this happens all the time, whether you did or didn't, there's a possibility that you went and you bought another product. And in that case, Calvin re-engaged you to then go and buy an upsell, or to buy more education, or maybe now that he's converted you, now he's making other sales from sending you emails about other things. The point is that if Calvin would have just said, oh, I'm not going to do lives because I'm uncomfortable and I don't know what to talk about, or I'm not going to follow through, I'm not going to create content on a daily basis. No, he would have none of this. You wouldn't even be here, probably.
Right. Yeah, probably wouldn't be.
Okay. So, and everybody looks at somebody like Calvin and says, oh, he's so, and he is good at creating content, but you know what? It's because he's done it for probably 10,000 hours. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's put in his time and he's still putting in his time. It's kind of like, it's like he's still doing it. It's such a magical thing to talk about, right, Will? Because it's not as if I'm talking about somebody. These marketers are still out here because it's the name of the game. You're still always creating content, whether, just like Papa Don said yesterday, when I'm writing, when I'm speaking, when I'm filming, I'm making money. Anything else is probably busy work, but I'm making money. And guess what Calvin's still doing? Writing, speaking, filming, and making money. So Will, what did those first beginning weeks look like in terms of you getting out of learning mode and actually transitioning to action, which is a difficult thing for a lot of people to do because learning is really safe and nothing can really happen to me when I'm just learning. But then when I go to take action and actually start my business, that's when the rubber hits the road. So how did you transition through that period?
Oh, you know, I had to dig deep because I'm an introvert, like big time introvert. I don't even like having my picture taken. You know, mm-hmm. I just run from the camera. So when it came time to decide, okay, this is it, this is go time, I just had to suck it up and get it done, really. And pushing the button to send that first TikTok really was a relief because I was like, I did it. I did it, you know? And then I realized, well, nothing bad happened. Nothing happened to me. I'm okay. So let's do it again and again. And I just, from that point on, you know, I broke the ice and I just kept going, and it got easier after that. And it's kind of fun now to make them, really.
Well, isn't that such a, that's how all fears work, isn't it? I mean, nothing is ever as scary as we make it out to be, you know? In time after time in life, I've had that very same thing happen to where I made it out to be a nuclear explosion if it was going to happen, if I did XYZ, and then I'd do it and I'd expect to get, you know, laughed at, or I'd, you know, whatever my fear was. I was talking to my daughter yesterday, and she was talking about getting laughed at for wearing. I can't remember what we were talking about, but it was just the fear, this general fear that she had about people, kids laughing at her. And I just was like, wow, where did that come? It's almost like it's a natural thing. And then maybe we see one thing or one tiny little thing happens and it just ignites that fear. But it's one that follows us throughout life. It's that fear of rejection, or that fear of criticism, or that, you know, fear of just getting made fun of. And I think it's a really elementary school fear that probably happened to damn near all of us. We got laughed at one time and we were like, ow, that hurt. I'm never going to let that happen again. And it's like, you know, some of us, you know, I do believe in personality types, but man, what you just, you know, and that we're extroverted, introverted, and all that stuff. I do believe in that, but I also love your story about overcoming fear, because it's such a simple one, and it's the only way to get through it is to get through it. There's no way around it, right?
Yeah.
You didn't have to do it. I didn't send you a secret email and say, hey, I just wanted to let you know this is how not to have any fear through this program. And I'm just giving you this secret will, and I'm not giving it to anybody else. I didn't send you that email, did I? I mean, there right. was no, you know, your answer was something along the lines of, I just did it and had to get through it. I had to get uncomfortable. And then it became fun. How many people do you think are stuck in that I'm afraid to do this and are unwilling to go through that 10 to 30-ish day period where things are really uncomfortable because you're brand new? How many people will bury their dream of their business, do you think, will bury it in a nice little grave and put a tombstone on it, who could have had success, like the percentage of people who want to do it but let that fear stop them? What would you guess that number is?
Oh, it's got to be pretty big. I'd have to say it's at least 90%, at least.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of people I talk to, and I don't make videos is one of their things when they talk about, like, well, I want to do what you do, but I don't make videos. You know, I don't like to get on camera. And there's quite a few that do. Huh. And they're the ones that admit the fear. There's probably, you know, tons more that, I mean, they're not just going to come out and say it. That's just in their mind that they're not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I mean, you are, you're not only crushing it on TikTok, but you've also monetized yourself on Facebook. Is that right? To where your reels are actually now have become another stream of income for you. Can you tell us about just, you know, how you've, what it's been like to market first on the platform that you originally were just a user of? So you went from consumer to creator. And then how eventually did you find yourself over to Facebook Reels? Were you just repurposing content and then it took off? Talk us through a little bit of your content strategy.
Yeah. Well, I started on TikTok, and TikTok just seemed to be the place to be. And I didn't repurpose any videos for a while. I was just doing the TikTok. And
you were just doing original content of your own content.
Yeah. The marketing content. And
weren't repurposing on other platforms. Okay. Yeah, I was just trying to track what you were saying there. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah, catching up. The brain just got here. Continue, Will.
Yeah. So, but I wasn't repurposing anything. And going through the morning shows, and you talk to people and they'll mention repurposing. So, like, you know what, I got to start doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I started repurposing to Facebook Reels, and the Reels just blew up. That's where I started getting all my traction. TikTok was I had its moments, but really didn't do a whole lot. But the Reels just exploded. So I just started expanding on Facebook. You know, I got a group and a page, and, you know, now my Facebook is killing it. And I'm getting monetized on my Reels and everything. Yeah.
I mean, look at you. How's that feel? I mean, are you Billy Badass over there or what? I mean, holy shit. You go from not knowing your ass, you know, from a hole in the ground, and now you're monetized, dominate, crushing it on Facebook. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, you know, and that was completely unexpected. You know, I never thought that, you know, I was going to have that much success on Facebook, of all places. Because that was
I mean, did you think you'd have any success in general, though? I mean, you know, were you one of those guys who came into it, I believe I'm going to succeed and I can see it? Or are you one of those guys who's like, pinch me, I can't believe that this is actually, you know, taking off the way that it is?
A little bit of both. Whenever you start something, you have to have some sort of belief. If you're questioning yourself or you're not full in, then you're probably not going to succeed. You have to believe that you are going to succeed in some fashion. Mm. The surprises, like with the Facebook thing, that one is kind of like, wow, you know, I never expected that. But I did believe I was going to succeed all along. I just didn't know how well.
Yeah. So are you going back to trucking?
Well, I still drive.
You still drive?
Yeah, I'm in a situation now where I can drive part-time. So I'll drive the first part of the week I have to go, and then the second part of the week I can focus on my business here.
And it's not like if you had to, if you were a truck driver, if you had to continue to do this side by side with driving trucks, that is very doable. That is actually very doable. And clearly you've got yourself in a position. How have you gone from full-time to part-time? Is it because, hey, now I've got income coming in and I'm eventually going to take that part-time down to no time over there driving?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much where I am. And I'm in a, I guess, a unique situation where I don't drive for a big company. I left the big companies, and my brother-in-law has a trucking company. So I work with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he allows me to have that freedom, which is really good, because then it frees up some time to do what I need to do.
All right. So you mentioned family. What does he and any other of your family or friends think about what you're doing, and do they even know?
They know, but I haven't gone into a real in-depth explanation, because they really don't understand.
Right. Well, neither do my friends and family after 12 or 13 years or whatever the hell, they're like, you still do it? I got family members now who are just like, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. Business good. We don't even talk about the details, because for whatever reason, you know, it's also difficult, people. I want to remind everybody listening, it's not just this business that's like hard for people to understand. There's a million industries in jobs out there and businesses that if you tried to explain what it did, the majority of the population would still be confused. So I do want to dispel that myth that this is the only thing. I mean, if I tell somebody, hey, I'm a truck driver, yeah, okay, that's pretty simple. What I do nowadays is I tell people, friends and family, that I'm not prospecting them. I actually, at this point in my life, thank the good Lord because it was a long, hard road to get here. I don't even talk to my friends and family about what I actually, there was a time to where I was like, how do I do this? When is this going to get easy? And now I just don't ever even bring business up ever. And if somebody asks me what I do, I say, well, I'm into real estate, and I'm also into online marketing or e-commerce. E-commerce is a word that a lot of people think they understand and know what it means. So sometimes I'll say, I have some real estate and an e-commerce business. And they're like, oh, nice, Dave. As if they know, but they don't really know, you know. But anyways, so your friends and your family, they don't really understand either. And so you're not doing a whole lot of explaining right now.
No, not now. In the beginning, I was really excited, and I would try to explain to them, you know, like, hey, look what I'm doing, what I'm into. And yeah, I just gave up on that. Like, whatever.
We think what we're doing is the most important thing in the world when we first start it. And that is how a lot of us get let down, you know, because we're like, oh my God, look at what I'm doing. This is the greatest opportunity. This is the best thing. And the person is just like, I don't give a shit. It looks like this is a scam. So, you know, they just say whatever they say off the top of their head, you know, and then you're like, oh, you know, we're all butt hurt, you know, because our fans, it's just like, don't even bother. Let me save you new people. Don't even bother. Right. Wait until, you know what you do? Buy something nice, like a car, a nice watch or something. And then people will be like, hey, what are you doing? And just be like, it's just some investments on the side, you know, just some investments, just a side business. You know what? Because nobody ever even believes that you have a business or that, you know, you're going to be doing anything until you actually have physical things. Money doesn't matter. You can earn all the money in the world, but your friends and family won't even begin to believe that you're actually a real entrepreneur until you start, wait for this one, buying depreciating assets, you know, right, which is, you know, which is what impresses the masses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what they like to see.
Yep. They like to see those depreciating assets. When you start buying them boats and them cars, you know.
Right.
So what is next for you, Will, and where do you see yourself going, you know, the rest of 2022? What are you just trying to kind of dial in your content? Are you trying to grow your list? I mean, are you just, hey, I don't know what the hell I'm doing next week, but today I know what I'm doing. Like, kind of how are you approaching? Are you approaching things right now a day at a time, or have you begun to look into the future and say, maybe, you know, maybe this is where I want to take this?
Yeah, I'm pretty much a day at a time. I have difficulty trying planning simply because of my driving. Because sometimes it may take up more than just a couple of days. So I just try to like plan for the moment. All right, right now I've got this. So let me see what I can get done in the next few days. But I know my ultimate goal, not ultimate, but at least my year from now goal is to quit driving. By this time next year, I want to not be driving anymore. And that will be, this will be 100% full time. That's my main goal.
Do you know how reasonable and doable that is, man? Like, seriously, if you came with some real bullshit, you were like, hey, I want to be making, you know, $1 million a month by next year, I'd have been like, Will, come on. But man, that's a realistic goal that can not only absolutely, you know, happen, but what I've seen happen with me, and I've said this before, is that I've really shortchanged myself on what I thought was possible. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's one of the reasons why us as marketers make a mistake when we talk too much about what's possible. Like you want to zero in on a result instead of just selling a product. Like, hey, this is a bottle of water and it's got really awesome packaging. Isn't it pretty? And it's got water inside that you can drink, versus you're probably really thirsty right now, right? You've probably been talking for a little while here, Will, and your mouth's probably pretty dry, isn't it? Feel that. Right. Right. And that kind of sucks when you're talking and you've got an interview and in your mouth's dry. And you know what this right here will do? It'll wet it down and make this interview so much easier for you to finish. So here, would you like this? Just 50 cents a drink. Right. So I'm selling the result, what this will do for you. But did you notice that I sold it from the place of pain points rather than selling, like, you know, all of the glory and all of the things that this water is going to do for you to make your life better? What this water is going to do is going to take your pain away. And, you know, how could a prospect who's in their pain be really thinking about all of this, you know, all of this basically this ecstasy that you're trying to sell them at the end of the rainbow? They can't even, you know. And I see a lot of people selling make money online and or business, you know, or finance stuff, and they're like, you know, what kind of car do you want to drive? And, you know, what kind of house do you, how many square feet do you want? And it's like, man, they can't, they're not thinking about that. They can't think about that right now. They just want the pain to stop. So they want to stop answering to a boss they hate. They want to stop being away from their family for 100 hours a week. They want to stop, you know, feeling like they're throwing another decade down the drain to somebody else's dreams or what, you know, whatever the real pain is. That's what is going to motivate somebody. Yep. And so, you know, I thought that when I asked you looking into the future, I thought that was kind of a cool point that we both made without even trying, which is even us sometimes can't look into the future. And we're the marketers. We're the ones who are marketing. And sometimes it's difficult for us to look into what we want and what, you know, so market to people's pain points. That's what you need to get good at talking about. That's what you need to get good at speaking to. And also, I want to throw this in because I see a lot of like guys out there who just don't get it because we're not emotional beings. You got to insert that with some empathy instead of arrogance in judgment. Don't be the guy who's like, do you hate your boss? Are you tired of, you know, talking down to people? Connect with them. Be like, I've been there. That's when you tell your story. When you line up a couple of pain points, just like I did. Hey, do you hate your job? You tired of working for somebody else's dream? You tired of, you know, being away from your family? Well, I was too. I get it. I would lace up my construction boots early in the morning and not come home until late in the afternoon, sometimes in the evening. And the most I could do was to eat dinner and then go to bed. There was no spending time playing with my kid, right? So now I'm telling my story and then I transition into the solution, what it was like, what happened, what it was like now, or what it's like now. And, you know, again, I've told everybody where I learned that formula. I mean, I learned that when I began telling my story in 12-step recovery. And it's still such a powerful way to connect with people. And Will, are you, I mean, is that are you using some form of that, or is that how you're kind of, how have you taken your ideas and turn them into little 15-second videos that actually work? I mean, are you doing most of your content by talking to the video? Are you doing a lot of the texting and not really talking? And what comes up for you as I talk about dialing in your messaging to people's pain points? That, you know, have you noticed that your content takes off more, relates more when you do that, when you tell your story? Or are you finding that people want to talk about Lamborghinis and Rolls Royces and mansions and dream about those kind of things?
No. Yeah. You have to touch on the pain points. And I try to focus on that. And I've noticed that maybe it's just the way I speak or just the talking videos, but those don't do as well. Whenever I try to do a video where I'm talking about something, it doesn't work as well as me just, I could just be looking in the camera and shaking my head. And I put text.
Yeah.
Way better.
Blows up. I know.
Kill it.
Yeah. I think that is because, you know, you got to think about folks. And this is a NAS, my man, what's going on, my brother? He says, this is over delivering $1 million coaching session going on right now. And it's true. I mean, Will, your business made a major step, took a major step when you were just listening to the Wake Up Show and decided, hey man, I need to start repurposing. So you'll be amazed. That's why I like these, is because there's no plan. But when two marketers get together and two entrepreneurs start talking, you know, ideas come up and we can talk about what works and what doesn't. And that's why these are so powerful. But I was going to touch on something there that you were just talking about. What did I just ask you? Oh, about my wife's laughing at me. Well, I got so full of myself about how great these shows are and started ranting about that. I forgot what the fuck I was talking about. I was talking about the videos and talking versus texting, versus what I was going to say was, and this is another $1 million. I was going to put a price tag on what I'm about to say. That's the thing us marketers do. You put a price tag on what you're about to say, gives it more perceived value. So let me give you a $1 million nugget, right? See how that works. Lean in. You get ready for this one. No, this really is one. Think about the end user and how are they interacting with the content? Where are they at when they're watching it? Do you think that they're in a quiet room and they can play their speaker up as loud as they want because they're probably financially free and at home all day sitting maybe by the pool? And that, no, they're in a cubicle, or they're, you know, sitting in line at the DMV, or they're in a restaurant, you know what they're doing? They're scrolling, and the ability to read the text allows them to be on the app when they're in the middle of class or their job or whatever. So that's another thing, is that, you know, one of the reasons why I think this style of content has absolutely taken off is because we're now delivering the best of both worlds. And TikTok really, really kind of perfected this for us. It's the video content, but it's reading it with no sound. There's something that, because we all like, I look at TikTok and I say, man, this is like a living meme. You know, it's like a video meme is all it is. In human beings, we are in a meme culture. Every piece of wisdom is now shared on a little JPEG. You know, somebody wrote it there or designed it or screenshotted somebody's Twitter tweet or whatever. And now it's a meme and we're all passing it around like it's, you know, some scripture or something, like, you know, we share it on social media and all this kind of stuff. But guess what? The people are not sitting on their phones, pulling up and watching videos that are, the sounds coming out. They can't. Sometimes they can, but a lot of times people can't. They can't do that. So you're going to get your initial follow, or you're going to get a comment, or you're going to get back in that person's timeline or their For You page or whatever, but by oftentimes first just getting them to engage, getting them to follow you, and then you're going to follow back up. And I think it's so overlooked. I think the TikTok content and how you're doing it with Reels and how so many people are doing it. And it's incredible how really you have to be creative, but it's really simple, Will, compared to what, you know, at one time we really, none of this, you had to talk. I mean, that you had no option. You were either talking or writing. You weren't able to utilize this video content without talking and just lay out the words. I mean, it's powerful, and it's exactly what how people want to consume content. They want to watch the video, but they can't have the sound blaring. And so if you're what would you tell people in terms of if their content, I saw this yesterday, again, you know, somebody said, well, my views are going down. Do you think I'm shadow banned? What? I mean, and obviously, we need to be honest with each other. We need to tell each other your content needs to get better. We can't just blame it on TikTok. We can't. So my default response always to all of you and to me too, not just to everybody else, but to me too, is Dave, your shit has to get better. Don't just complain about Facebook or TikTok or whatever. No, you got to get better. You got to make your stuff more interesting. However, that's not to say that shadow banning and all this stuff doesn't exist or whatever. I just don't want to lean on that. So what would you say about that topic, about, you know, the shadow banning, and have you experienced any up and down with your views, and how did you address it? Could you just address that? Or is that a complete non-issue that you've never even seen or heard from anybody about, the kind of shadow banning and my views are going down? What is your experience with that, Will?
No, see, I thought, you know, shadow banning could be a real thing, but I haven't experienced it. Like when I first began, my views were terrible. You know, I get, you know, 5 views, you know, 100 views. I mean, it was
because your content sucked. So did mine.
Yeah.
And so did mine at the beginning, right? I mean,
yes. And it's gotten way better, and my views have gone up. And I notice whenever I make a video that may not be so good, I may think it's good. Put it out there like, well, what happened?
Right.
But what
this masterpiece fell flat on its face. This thing I just sat here and edited all night and thought it was going to change the world.
Yeah. And it's a flop in one area, like TikTok. I'll put it on TikTok and it just bombs on TikTok. But then I put it on Facebook and it goes viral over there. So you've got two different types of viewers. Your TikTok people are different from the Facebook people. And I mean, that.
How so? Why do you think that is? I think I know why, but I tell you, I think Facebook is where all the boomers are at. You know what I mean? I just think that, but now the boomers are starting to come over to TikTok, aren't they? I don't know if you are or not, but boy, I'll tell you what, if you're in that age range, but I mean, it has been funny to watch boomers come over onto TikTok. I think a lot of the audiences are intertwined at this point, but as the generations have mixed and mingled, it's really been exciting for me to watch, man, because I mean, I still have people or see people out there who say like, oh, I'm not on TikTok, like as if they're too good for it or as if their generation doesn't go on it. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. Nobody misses you there. If you're too dumb to, you know, you think that you got it, you're the king of Facebook or what, it like TikTok is crushing. I mean, for all age groups. And I've said this, you know, since the beginning. I mean, there are buyers. A lot of times you would like maybe look at a platform or a particular traffic source and say, well, you might get a lot of traffic off of there, but they're not buyers. They're not going to buy, right? Like people might have said that about TikTok. Well, it's all just kids. They're not buyers. People are buying like crazy. And it's because of the multiple generations that are on that are on that app now. It's people who will watch, who will follow, like yourself, who will come back and listen and be like, there's something to this. It's real people of all ages who have real problems in life. And if you put a solution in front of them, there's a good chance that you're going to that you're going to grow a following and convert a sale in any niche, folks. In any niche, you could do this same formula that we teach and do. And of course, you know, I know that there's people out there who say, well, Legendary only teaches people to be affiliates for Legendary. I'm going to tell you something right now. We never even mention our affiliate in all our affiliate program, in all of our education. People can take this, it's all, it can help you build a business in any industry. And many people do. Many people go off in other niches. And oftentimes it's hard to track them because, you know, it's just hard to track people who, you know, hard to track students from, it's easier to track students from colleges because they do more outreach like that. We don't follow up I'd love to, but we got people going in all different directions with this information. And I think that, you know, If you're listening right now and you're, you know, quite frankly, it does not matter how old you are, your past experience, degrees, education, work, history, or computer or technical literacy levels. Like you can be an internet computer dummy like Will and I and still be successful with this because what it requires is less advanced skills in God-given talent in more or almost all the ability to just push through some uncomfortable shit at the beginning until it becomes second nature. Because here's the thing, and I don't know about you, Will, but for me, this business is second nature because I'm already using the technology. I'm already on my phone. And quite frankly, I'm already on these apps.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just a matter of whether I want them to use me or if I want to use them in a way that, you know, I can serve and I can make money, or I can just let it use me and it can suck up all of my time. Right. And I think we all have that choice nowadays. And I think that the workforce is going to continue to see this opportunity the understand that you can work from home. Society's waking up, Will. We need our truck drivers. We need people to transport. That is something that, unfortunately, I hope, in for the driver specific, I hope that never goes away. I hope those jobs are always there, because you saw what happened with the supply chain issues. It's important. But a lot of these go to the office and all of these type of jobs, man, people are waking up and realizing, I don't even need to go there. I can be just as good from home. So yep. Now's the time. I just feel like this is a moment in our history to where if you don't wake up and get these skills, you are actually going to be left behind. If you don't at least learn how to use social media and not let it use you, your job, it's just going to keep getting smaller and smaller until you're painted into a corner to where you're forced. And I know that it's difficult sometimes to build a business, Will, when you've got another stream of income, because it can make us complacent. What did you do or what are you doing to motivate yourself and keep yourself in the game, although you do have other ways to make money?
Well, getting in that truck every Monday is motivation in itself.
That pain, huh?
The pain. Yeah. I never really cared for it. And now that I see the light and I know that I won't have to do that. So when I'm in that truck, the whole time I'm thinking about, okay, what am I going to do when I get back home, or what am I going to be able to do when I get parked for a little while to further my other stuff, you know, my business, so that I can get out of this damn truck. Mm. And it's living that pain every week, every Monday. Yeah.
There it is. I love that because you just proved the point that we were talking about a second ago, which is we're still, you know, all of us, no matter where we're at with certain things, we're all motivated by pain. I mean, you know, I hadn't gone to the dentist because of what happened. I hadn't gone to the dentist in like a year and a half or 2 years. Right. And it, just to get a basic cleaning and stuff like that, you know what I mean? I was just doing home maintenance, if you will. And, but I'll tell you what, man, I all of a sudden had a pain in my tooth, and, I no longer cared about anything. I no longer cared about what I could give. I mean, mass, no mass, people, make it stop. Make the pain stop. And, you know, I was in that dentist chair the next day, you know, and so I think a huge takeaway for me today is really just that consistency. So perfectly, you know, explain that example of you actually converting. And I always like to go back to look at what is your true origin story of coming into this industry, and because you can learn a lot from that conversion. You can learn a lot from your own conversion. You can learn a lot just from how you interacted with marketing material or your own behaviors, because you're a consumer. You know, at the core, we all are, or we were consumer. I'm still a consumer in this industry too. I'm still buying training, going through people's funnels. I'm looking at stuff. You know what I mean? I'm a consumer of this. So yeah. I have to learn from any place I can as a marketer, anywhere I can get the advantage. And oftentimes, your own experience, your own buyer's journey, not your marketer's journey, your buyer's journey of just going through and going back through and saying, what happened? What really converted me? What brought me back? What made me skeptical? What helped me overcome that objection? A lot of the secrets, the messaging that you need to write, like Papa Don said, write, speak, and film, a lot of that stuff actually lies right in your own experience. You don't even have to go outside of your own experience. You can just talk about your own experience, and it's enough. Will,
yeah,
is that true? In do you agree with what I'm saying here in terms of we don't need to know much? A lot of what you need to know your entire career is just your own life. What did you do? And you can then use that to talk about those feelings or experiences and relate them to people. And they're like, yeah, that's how I feel right now. Right. Because yeah. We felt the same way. We're also a human being.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I think the hardest part is being able to convey your thoughts and your emotions from your mind to the screen or to the paper or whatever. That's the hardest part, being able to do that, at least for me.
Well, that's hard anyways for us men, right? to express ourselves. I mean, you know, yeah. I have become more, I'm still very introverted, but I become extroverted when I have to, meaning when I'm speaking, filming, or writing. Writing, I just kind of get into a different energy. You know, I feel like whenever I'm speaking, filming, or writing, I do have to get into sort of my extroverted energy. But wow, man, it's been a great talk. There's been so many different things that you've brought up that are so relatable, and so many nuggets in this interview. Definitely one worth going back and re-listening. And Will, I just appreciate your time, and hopefully you'll come back and keep us posted for a round two here in a couple of months.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Cool, man. All right. Well, keep up the great work, brother. And do you want to give a last message for anybody who's maybe beginning this journey and is just looking for some experience, somebody who came before them? Maybe they're also a little skeptical. Who knows? Maybe they just started the challenge and they're wondering if it's worth their time. I mean, what would you say to that early Will and also the dozens or hundreds or who knows how many people are in that place right now? What would you say to them?
You just got to do it. Get out of your head about it. Don't overthink it. Whatever, you know, your mind is thinking, you know, that's where it leads you. So like your thoughts are your actions. So instead of thinking about, I don't have the money, you got to think about like, how am I going to get the money, for example, or the time, make the time. Don't say, I don't have time. Because if you don't have time, you'll never have time. If you say you don't have money, you'll never have money. You just got to change your mindset and focus on being able to accomplish it. And you will.
And that is coming, my friends, from a computer illiterate truck driver who's now a part-time truck driver and a successful online marketer. So Will, congrats, man, on that accomplishment. It's really, really something to be, you know, not that kind of, you know, I feel like any time after 35-ish, 40, that you make a real major life move is some big shit, right? Because look, I'm getting older just like you are, man. And the energy levels ain't where they were when I was 24, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so, you know, also taking a moment to just stop and really giving yourself some kudos and just, you know, one of the things that my wife, we say to our daughter is, you should be proud of yourself, you know, because building self pride, not getting external validation from everybody else around us and oh, are people liking my content or are they supporting my business? But actually feeling proud inside of yourself that you're making a big life change, that you're just not sitting around taking shots from life as if you're helpless, you know, but actually you're taking control of your life, you're getting your priorities in order. I mean, and to make a big major life move, when you know, society has told us, hey, you should be making no moves in this time, just kind of chilling out, riding out your 40, 40, 40, baby, you know, getting ready to go, you know, work part-time at Walmart and greet people, you know, until you hit the deck, you know? And it's like, man, you know, when I see, I mean, Papa Don yesterday, 79 years old. I mean,
that's something, come on, yeah.
Man. I mean, anything's possible, man. And I mean, it's never too early or too late to make a move, to make a change, to grow, you know, to change your entire life. And I just love when we get to, you know, have these countless examples every day. Thanks for that, Will. Thanks, and you should, and all of you who are taking action should be proud of yourself. But Will, keep it up, brother.
Thank you.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
All right, my friends. We've had his banner up, but he's on TikTok and he's on Facebook, as we talked about. William Hollabaugh. It's all spelled out there on the screen. And if you're listening on Spotify or something like that, I'm going to spell it out. It's William, WILLIAMHOLLABAUGH. Okay. And you could just look his name up on Facebook. All right. Will Hollabaugh. All right. Friends, family, legendary, chosen family. Ah, man, you can't choose your blood family, but you can choose your business family, and you can choose your friends. And really, really grateful to be related to each and every one of you. We are all cut from the same cloth, even though we may look a little different. And I think that's why we all kind of, you know, why this information resonates, you know, why this information resonates, that there's more to life than just working a job, paying bills, paying taxes, and dying. You got to be legendary. All right. All right. See you guys tomorrow. We got one more day this week. And then we're going to be into the weekend. And, you know, the halfway mark of 2022 is coming up. It's just unbelievable how time flies. And we've got a mastermind coming up here in a week and a half down in Orlando, Florida. So I'm looking forward to seeing those of you who are going to be coming to that mastermind. It's going to be on fire, just like they always are. So we'll see you back here for another episode tomorrow. Be legendary. Get out of here. Peace.